This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
WMDX. John and Gordy in the morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning to you.
Well, no.
It's kind of nice and warm out there this morning.
Yeah, it's not bad at all.
A little misty because it's been raining on and off.
Yeah, got some overnight. Rain moving through right now.
Yeah.
46 degrees, current.
All right.
Yeah. Good morning, Sam.
Yeah. Good morning.
How are you doing in there?
Yeah.
Doing anything risky with your...
What is that supposed to mean?
Engine block.
Oh. I didn't drop it on me, if that's what you're asking. Yeah.
Well,
are you done working on it, or does it need more work?
The engine?
Yeah.
It's pretty much done. Yeah. There's a couple things I got to do the car itself before the engine goes back in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's on the to-do list.
So you think everything is sealed off in that engine?
Wow.
Of yours, right?
Well,
it's not going to leak oil the first time you start the engine.
No need to stick your fingers in any holes that you don't know
right,
about.
Exactly. Right, exactly. I did run it for a little bit. That's why I told you I had to siphon some gasoline, which is something I will never try again. But
they make siphoning hoses, you know.
Well, I'm a poor person employed at a radio station. You ought to know what that's like.
That's true. That's true. You can't get everything. Yeah.
Well, good. Yeah. Well, we want, you know, I miss seeing the VW bug in the parking lot.
Yeah.
We all do. The love bug.
It's for sure going to be back by probably April or May, if not earlier.
Mm-hmm. April or May?
Well, I don't want to drive it a lot in the winter. We live in Wisconsin. They salt the roads here.
That's right. Salting the roads. That's going to really hurt your car.
Yeah, who wants to drive it? Well, no. That's what I need to do on the car right now, actually, is like repair all of the rust.
Oh, okay.
Because it's starting to rust through in a few spots.
Oh, my God. It's so much fun hearing about this. It takes me back. You know, I did all this stuff.
Yeah.
Same with you. Yeah, I had an engine all the parts were spread out on the lawn. My neighbor was a mechanic.
And you vowed never to do it again.
Well, it sat out there for a while. I kept on, you know, asking him, when are we going to get to building my engine?
You just had the pieces sitting out in your lawn?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound very good for the engine parts.
You know what? It isn't. I think the engine block warped a little bit because it was out there.
It warped?
No.
Yeah, in the sun. It was
kidding.
Summer. So I think that's what happened. It had a slight leak of oil, as always. It was a straight six. They were pretty easy to work on.
Straight six, okay. Make a note of that.
And now you've got a hybrid car.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
I bet you don't work on that anymore.
You know, that's the great thing. Yeah. It's a horrible thing to work on if you have to work on it. It's very expensive to work on because it seems like it's all one engine. You know, the differential, all these things are just one piece. And you know, you have to kind of cut,
You got to cut a hole in it to
Not cut a hole. But it's like the transmission and the differential. You know,
right.
All that, you know, all these things are like connected and if you have a slight problem with like the transmission,
the
then
whole
they have
thing's
to like
gotta come out.
Then they got to take whatever it is.
But hardly ever does it have a problem. Right?
It never really does have a problem. Prius is just incredible.
Yeah,
you know, I hated Priuses more than anything. I was the biggest enemy of Priuses because people who drive Priuses are the worst drivers in the world.
You know, why do you think that?
They seem to think because they can save gas. And because they are saving even more gas by not accelerating, that they can push people around. And I did not appreciate that at all. So when I got my Prius, I broke down, got the damn Prius, because I drive all over Dane County doing the census survey. I decided that I'm going to prove everybody wrong with the Priuses, and I'm going to drive like a madman out there, like it's, you know, the Daytona 500. Yeah.
Way to stick it to them.
That's the way I'm sticking it to them.
That's the way you've always driven. You've always driven
really,
that way.
I?
Yes.
Yeah, well, it's true.
It is true.
My driving lesson was go-kart tracks. That's,
really?
That's,
you,
where,
go-karts?
That's really where I, yeah. Because I was afraid of driving.
Yeah.
But when we got out of the go-kart tracks, man, I just felt like, you know, I had control of the world.
Right. Go-karts are so much fun.
The hairpin turns.
Especially
like
homemade,
things.
You know, like a home track.
Oh, well,
yeah,
I never tried that. Oh, I tried the... Yeah. The big ones in Milwaukee. It was just fantastic.
They get some really nice ones in the Dells, too. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to the weather.
But here, I just want to say this, because it was a thought I had yesterday. We were talking about EVs. Mm. And, you know, the thing with EVs is that it really... It saves you a lot of money, even more money, not just on, you know, not buying gas, but the fact that you don't have to repair it very often because the parts are different. You don't need oil, and you need all this stuff.
Yeah, I had a professor in college who, he was like enamored with his new EV that he got. He said the only thing he ever had to do for maintenance on it was have the tires rotated at like 20,000 miles or something.
That's it.
I mean, you save a lot of money on maintenance.
No kidding.
With them. So that's a big deal.
Got to get me an EV.
Next time we talk about EVs, we got to bring that up to the person we're normally arguing with. Huh? Whoever it is.
Well, let's get a mechanic in here and find out about the, you know, all the new cars, the EVs and the hybrids and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We could do
Who
that.
We get? Let's search around through your Rolodex there, Sam.
We'll workshop it. Yeah,
we'll workshop it. Oh, yeah, okay.
What's the weather going to be like
weather
today?
Well, it's 46 degrees and rainy. Let's spin the weather roulette wheel and find out what the actual afternoon high may be today. Here we go. Round and round. Oh, yeah, blah, blah. Okay, and it settles in on 52. Black 52.
Oh, I like that. Yes, Black 52.
Do you like that?
We haven't had Black 52 in a long time.
That's been a long, long time. I know. Yeah. National weather, or the national day calendar. Now.
Yeah.
Here
we
go.
Let's find out what's going on
there.
Do you made up
day?
One, or are you just...
It's November 14th. Yesterday we only had one real one.
Oh.
Got a whole bunch today. So, is it or is it not National Seatbelt Day? Is it National Family PJ Day? Is it National Spice Guacamole Day?
Yeah.
Is it National Crochet Day? Crochet Day. National Pickle Day. Which one of those does not belong? Sam, let's start with you today.
Oh, boy. Not Crochet Day, is it?
Well, you're right. Right out of the box.
Right.
Right. Get a shiny new diamond added to your account.
Right out of the box.
I wasn't even sure about that. That was a guess.
Okay. Well, that's good. It's National Seatbelt Day. Remember when seatbelts were, brand new thing?
Controversial.
Yeah, controversial. And
why would I wear that? Oh, it's uncomfortable.
Before they had the shoulder harness, they just were regular, just belts across.
What do you, what's your guys' take on automatic seatbelts? Where like when you close the door, then it comes down over you.
I hate those.
I don't like those.
I think
at all.
They phased those out, didn't they? They don't have.
They
those
did.
Anymore.
Yeah, like they haven't been a thing for like 30 years.
Oh, those are awful. God,
not a good thing. National Seatbelt Day encourages everyone to buckle up, save those lives. No matter where you sit in the vehicle, wearing a seatbelt is proven to save lives. Let me just see a couple of statistics here. Mm-hmm. Just over 90% of Americans buckle up, saving an estimated 15,000 lives each year, according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Yeah. Wear those seatbelts.
You bet.
Okay.
You bet.
It's been 60 years since the invention of the three-point seatbelt, and the restraint has saved hundreds of thousands of lives over the years. So buckle up. Okay.
That's right. You know, if it wasn't for the Democrats, I just want to throw this in, we wouldn't have seatbelts. Mm.
Or have them mandated at least, right?
Yeah. Republicans hated them.
My
didn't
dad
want
still
any
hates them.
Does he really?
Yeah.
It surprises me that every now and then he just doesn't wear it. Because since I was a real little kid, it was drilled into me. That's what you always do when you get into a car.
Okay.
I think there was a Michigan congressman, a place where you make
Detroit.
All the cars, right? And he was against the seatbelt law. He did not want them in the cars. Yeah. He didn't want anybody tinkering with the auto industry.
Okay.
And they didn't want the seatbelts.
Yeah. Well, they didn't want to have the extra expense of putting
seatbelts. Exactly.
Testing.
Not knowing, of course, that once you start making seatbelts, the price comes down dramatically.
Right.
So they become less expensive.
Mm-hmm. Let's move on. National Family PJ Day. Yeah. Oh, get those pajamas ready. Comfort comes in the form of National Family PJ Day, celebrated each year on November 14th.
All right, I know the question is,
what's wrong with?
Do you wear a PJ?
Pajamas?
Or how do you undress for bed?
Get your jammies on. Yeah, how do you undress for bed?
How is that? Huh?
Yeah. What do you mean?
Anybody nude?
Are you asking for people to call in with what they do?
Oh, God.
Well, let's
608-879-8255 is our number, 879-TALK. What?
I think
do you have actual pajamas, Sam?
I hope not.
That I wear sometimes. Just like a T-shirt. If I like shower earlier and then I don't go to bed for a while, then I'll put pajamas on so I'm not like in my underwear in front of my roommates or something.
But, oh yeah, your roommates.
I think that the three of us should get matching pajamas.
Oh God,
family pajama day.
Really?
Oh yes.
Oh, that's a great idea.
That would be excellent.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Think of the fun. Okay. Yeah, get those jammies on today.
Well, yeah, it's just National underwear PJ for me. Day. But, you know, people sleeping in the nude, that seems like such a strange way to go to bed.
I don't approve of that.
Not, yeah. Yeah,
I
don't.
I do T-shirt and boxers.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
The T-shirt kind of gets clumped up for me.
I usually end up taking the T-shirt off at some point.
It's a little tight.
Yeah.
It depends on which way you move in bed. All of a sudden, you know, the T-shirt's, cutting
kind
into your underarm or something.
Oh, I hate that. Yeah.
Isn't it the worst?
Oh, it's awful.
I'd hate to hear what people are imagining right now. People thinking of sleepy, sweaty, unclothed John and Gordy.
Remember the old movies where they had a cap on, like a floppy
sleeping cap, right?
And a sleeping nightgown. Scrooge. Yes.
Yeah.
Weird.
What's that all about?
Why would we wear a hat?
Yeah. Because don't want to mess your hair.
Oh God, no. It's National Spicy Guacamole Day. Oh, who doesn't love spicy guacamole?
You know, the best guacamole in the world has cumin in it.
Oh,
all right. Just a little secret. If you're making it yourself, a little dash of cumin, and man, it just brings it all together.
Making me
it really does. Lime and cumin.
Ooh, yeah, that's good. All right, one more to get through here. Right. It's National Pickle Day. Oh, I love pickles.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You a big pickle fan?
I do. I love pickles.
Yeah.
I don't like
I don't like the sweet pickles.
I don't like cucumbers.
Okay.
You know, I like them all processed. You know, I like pickling.
You like a dill? How about a gherkin? How about a gherkin? brined, a kosher dill, Polish, Hungarian, lots of different kinds of pickles.
I like baby dill pickles, the little ones.
Yeah.
Enjoy your pickle today.
We're
coming back with history and birthdays on John and Gordy in the morning.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
.7 WMDX. John and Gordy in the morning, and there is life out there.
UFOs are real, as it turns out. In a big government meeting yesterday.
Yeah.
Just announcing, the aliens are here.
Well, why not make that up as well? Why not just start it? what is this? What's happening? Next 4 years is just going to be insane. It really is.
They're going to meet with Donald Trump and Elon Musk this afternoon in the Oval Office, along with Biden.
My guess is what they're trying to do is set up Space Force so we have some way to deter the aliens if they decide to invade Earth.
Oh, they're already
because
here.
They've already got word that there are rumblings out in space.
Watch there be only one other like actual sentient species of life out there.
Yeah.
And they come to meet us And then Donald Trump
oh my God.
Nukes them or something. Oh, and then we're the only ones left.
Yes. Oh, yeah, there you go.
Oh, don't go there. Oh,
no, just the fact that, you know, if they actually meet Donald Trump, they think that's the human race.
Yeah.
This guy's in charge.
And then they wipe us out, you know. Yeah. It's like, and we can't have that.
What's the funny movie? Oh, God. The UFO comedy movie with the aliens.
They're
all talking.
Where they go
like
to
that.
Washington?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. This portion of the John and Gordy Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better and dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress available on Madison's East and West Sides or online at Verlo.com. We're getting
Sherry's good.
Emojis of that UFOs.
Was quick, Sherry. Sherry's, thank you.
Yeah, good morning, Sherry from Horicon.
She's got a
very
flying saucer with a ray coming out of the bottom of that saucer. And it's cute. That's a cute one.
I'm going to be thinking about this alien movie all morning.
Yeah, what is that? What is that movie?
Trying to think who's in it.
I haven't seen it. No, but, is it Coneheads? Is that what you're talking about?
It the Alien Invasion? Or?
No, I'm trying to think a couple of the stars that are in it.
Don't I know.
Never mind.
Well, there's no one. No one's going to help us this morning.
With the just all the aliens
look
come down. Come down. What? They come down and they start taking over. And they come. In, you know, they come in peace.
Yeah, they have that.
This sounds like every science fiction movie.
But they have that giant brain.
Right. And then at the I don't want to give. I'm going to give away the end. At the end, Slim Whitman singing makes their heads explode. inside their helmets. Yeah.
Yeah, he does a falsetto thing.
Mars Attacks.
Mars Attacks. That's it.
There it is.
Thanks to Michael for
Michael Seal out there in Tosa.
Thank you, Michael, for texting in. You can text us anytime on the Civic Media app or 608-879-8255.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Mars Attacks. It's a great movie.
It is.
Yeah. Very, very funny. Okay.
You know, the original movie where those aliens looked like that. That was kind of fun, too.
Yeah. Now, which one was that?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, here we go.
Way back, way back. Okay. You know, I used to collect monster cards, trading cards.
Yeah.
And you'd see all these great monsters and aliens in these cards. So I reference to all the time. Yeah. I'm thinking of those cards.
Well, now that the government has agreed that, yes, there are aliens and they're walking among us. And
we should look out and look over our shoulder. Don't trust anybody.
Yeah. So it'll be all the all the rage now.
Turn them in.
Get those monster cards out, UFO cards out. What's happening in the world of history today, Sam?
Boy, I'm glad you asked because I haven't looked at this list since yesterday.
Wonderful.
Let's take a look-see.
Yeah, I thought you were all prepared and ready to go.
I was looking at all the texts and messages coming in.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's take a look. All today, in 1832, What are you looking
at? Go ahead.
Oh, you're looking at them all now, all the texts and messages.
Yes,
today in 1832, anyhow, New York public transit debuts. Before trains in New York, like 50 years before they got the streetcars and subway in New York, they had a horse-drawn, like, streetcar.
Carriages.
Yeah. And the thing that I thought was hilarious about this, it was a lot like a modern bus. If you wanted to get off, you would pull a cord, except the cord, instead of, like, ringing a bell or something, it was attached to the driver's foot.
Very efficient.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's weird. Okay.
So you want to get off, you just give it a little yank and
that's
hopefully
crazy.
They stop.
Well, you know, that's how things start out. And, you know, the thing is we'd still have those today.
Hey, it's simple.
If the Republicans
were
always in charge.
right.
They wouldn't want that industry to go away. I mean, come on.
Okay. What else?
Let's see. Today in 1910, the USS Birmingham becomes the first quote-unquote aircraft carrier. It wasn't an aircraft carrier. It was a battleship, but they launched a plane from it.
Okay.
There was a picture of it. It was like really goofy looking. They had this ramp built up on the bow of the ship, and the picture was taken like just after the plane had left, and it looks like it's about to nosedive into the water. anticipate that the plane did not crash.
Right, exactly.
Well, they had to test it out somewhere. You know,
who
draws the short straw? Come on, Ernie, get in the plane. Let's give it a shot. See what happens.
Yeah. We got some radio history. Today in 1922, like a month ago, we mentioned that the BBC was formed. Well, today in 1922, they made their first broadcast.
Wow, that's great. Great stuff.
Yeah. It took them so long.
They made a lot of great
programs.
Good question.
I don't know. I don't know what they were doing for a whole month or so.
Plugging things
in. It was only for half an hour.
The Beatles were on the BBC all the time, you know.
Who were?
The Beatles.
Oh, yeah.
No, it was quite a bit after 1922, though.
Well, a little. A few years.
Okay.
I wouldn't quibble.
Don't quibble, Sybil. All right. Any birthdays today?
Yeah.
Famous birthdays?
The painter Claude Monet, he was born today, but... The big one, Wisconsin's own Joe McCarthy, was born today in 1908. We say happy birthday to Joe.
And welcome
Senator
back.
Joe.
Welcome back, Joe.
He'd be right at home now.
Yeah.
He sure would.
You want to bring up something here. You know, we're talking about Mars. What is
Mars Attacks.
Mars Attacks.
Yeah, everybody's chiming in on this now.
Mars Attacks were trading cards as well.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, originally.
And, How old is this movie?
Oh, gosh, mid-80s.
80s, something like that.
Huh.
You got to see it. It's really fun.
Okay.
I'm telling you.
I'll add it to my list of movies that you say I got to watch.
It's
I still got to watch Winnebago Man.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, what
on
the
it.
Hell, man? What are you
we
doing?
We give you these assignments for a reason.
I know. I'm chained to the desk here all the time. It's not the easiest thing to get out and watch a movie.
Okay.
That's true.
Okay. Hey, coming up next, we have Busted Pencils, Education Talk. We're going to talk about the dissolvement of the Department of Education.
That's right.
Yeah, I think also Trump's 10 points for his plan for education in the country. It's a little wacky.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
29 past the hour. We'll be back with more of John and Gordy in the Morning on 92.7 WMDX.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by noses. Yes, when wanting to stick something in other people's business, more people use their noses than any other part of their face. Noses, available wherever olfactory body parts are sold.
Well, that's good to know.
It is. It is.
You don't want to lose your nose.
No. 6:34, cloudy skies, some rain this morning, 46 degrees currently, highs in the low 50s. This portion of the John and Gordy Show brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better and dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress available on Madison's east and west sides or online at verlo.com.
Let's talk education.
Let's do
like
it.
Like we do every Thursday morning at this time.
Yep.
Tim Slacker is with us, and how are you doing today?
Good morning.
Morning, Tim.
Yeah. You know, it's okay, right? It's every day is some kind of a new announcement where you go, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I know. You know, picking his cabinet, Trump's cabinet, is just like, oh, God.
Oh. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm having a tough time getting a second job at Costco. And wait, he's the attorney general?
Yeah.
Yeah. Matt Gaetz.
Oh, that is, I know, that kind of blew up. And, you know, that kind of then casts a shadow on all the other picks.
Well, what are they going to do with all those empty buildings from the Department of Education?
You know, I've always hated that. When I go to D.C., I think, oh, look at all those buildings.
All these buildings that could be. You know what, though? The Department of Education, thinking about that, you know, will it actually happen is a good question. Will he truly shut down the Department of Education? Because if you listen to his, 10-point plan for K-12 and then his vision for higher education, there's kind of a problem with everything that he wants to do, because
the contradiction is what it is.
The contradiction is it, because you know what? If you really want to federally take care of all the things you want to take care of, like he's saying,
you need you
need a department. You need a big bull, you know.
Right.
I know. He says he's gonna get rid of that department, and then the first one on his list is cut federal funding for schools. Well, the federal funding goes through that department, you dumbass.
You gotta cut that, and you know, we're going to mandate an oath of loyalty by the teachers. You know, well, it's like, well, who's gonna administer the oath?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
And what am I oathing to?
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. if there's no Department of Education, I can't oath to that. It's crazy. But you know, thinking of that with naming though, I was on Dom's show yesterday mm-hmm. afternoon, and we were mm-hmm. talking about that a little bit and saying, you know, with naming all of these cabinets, you know, will there be a Secretary of Education even named
right.
while they're in the man? And, you know, I think there will be. And I don't know if I don't have any money to put on a bet, but I'm going to put down that the current it's the Secretary of Education in Oklahoma.
Oh, yes. Yeah, who mandated the Bible in classes, religious teaching, right?
He has been auditioning for this part for mm-hmm. years, mm-hmm. you know, and it was the question yesterday afternoon was, you know, can we do any worse than Betsy DeVos? And
the answer is yes.
Yes. The answer is yes, because, you know, I mean, Betsy DeVos was wholly unqualified.
Yeah.
And it was kind of, and sometimes it was almost funny. But this, I'm drawing a blank on his name from Oklahoma. Sam, if you can look it up, the Secretary of Education there, he truly will do damage. I mean, this is a person who has mandated Bibles and Ten Commandments in the state of Oklahoma. This is the guy who actually got stopped, but was trying to put together to use vouchers for religious schools mm-hmm. and then actually trying to really put in there and say that there's a Catholic public school in Oklahoma. Oh, it's Ryan Walters. The name just came back, just clicked in my head. But
okay.
I can see in the next couple of days that in the path to closing the Department of Education, well, you're going to need a Secretary of Education to oversee the closing. Mm-hmm. I am going to bet that you are going to see that this person is going to be named. That's my.
Okay.
That's a good guess. What do you want to think? Yeah. I mean, you know, the grift is in, obviously. You know, these stipulations for this particular Bible are strictly adhered to in Oklahoma. This is the Trump Bible. It describes it perfectly, right?
So if it's not Ryan Walters, though, I mean, and I'll put it out there, too, I'm available also, President Trump, just in case. And I will gladly shut it down myself, you know, if you want.
Okay.
Well, you know, the crazy part of all of this is that Ilan is going to do his department outside the government. So, you know what? Tim, you could probably take over, you know, just on a side job, you know, just do that.
Well, I said, well, I'm waiting to get my part-time job at Costco, you know, and they're doing that extensive background check on me. You know, I'm figuring, you know, right now the background checks are not a thing to being on the cabinet of President Trump. So I'm pretty sure that, you know, you get to bypass that right now. Because
Tim, I want to ask you something. What about this story about teachers quitting the profession because of the activities of Gen Alpha students, and you know, they can't keep order in the classroom. The kids are they're unruly, or they can't control them. You know, it's all about their phone. They can't get them off the phones. But more and more people are deciding to opt out and just get out of the teaching profession altogether, or not even pursue it. Sam's having second thoughts.
You guys are actively trying to convince me not to. I'm not having second thoughts.
You're not? You seem a little doubtful about it.
I sent that video link to that to Tim. And did you watch that at all, or find it anywhere near credible?
Well, I missed that, John.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but the what you're talking about, though, the dissatisfaction of teachers right now, currently in the field, you name it, whether it's unruly kids, the telephones. But there has been, and I've been pointing this out, is that there's an exodus of teachers happening, and that when we talk about a teacher shortage, I don't think that that's the right way to go about it. I think we need to talk about the fact that there are more qualified, certified teachers not teaching than there are open positions. So you don't really have a shortage of qualified teachers. You have a dilemma of people who don't want to teach. Mm-hmm. And the question is why? Is it the phones? Is it the students? Is it the parents? Is it the school board? Is it the, yes, it's all of those.
It is.
It's every one of those, because as a classroom teacher, this ability to go back into your classroom, and I interviewed about 400 different teachers across the country in 2019 and asked them that simple question, are you going to leave? And if not, would you stay? 90% of them had said some form of, I want to leave. If I could leave, I would. And what would make you stay? And this is a pretty simple answer. Just let me teach.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just let me teach. And realizing that what they're really saying there is that between the parents, between the regulations, between, you know, trying to meet test scores, between everything, it's just like, I can't teach. I got into this profession to make a difference in the world, to actually ignite fires, and I can't do that anymore. And you name what reason. And so I don't know, Sam, if you're, you know, kind of getting a feeling like that of, you know, but it is. Sam.
Well, I'm a little disheartened after the election, but I am not discouraged. I don't think. I'm still planning to go back to school and get certified to teach. So
good. Yeah. Good. Well, we need you. And I said it's, you know, preparing future teachers, which was, you know, what I used to always do. Realizing that it is a challenge to go out there and be a teacher, but to realize though too that without incredibly gifted, awesome teachers, there's not going to be a difference there. And so one of the things I used to really work with is to really prepare future teachers for, it's going to be tough out there, but the reality is remember why you made this decision to become a teacher. You wanted to inspire and, you know, really big ideas or ideals. You wanted to change the world. Well, guess what? You can, but you got to stay in the classroom and you got to stay connected to those families and those kids to change the world. And you got to learn how to also kind of ignore some of those things. So yeah, Sam, coming in, you know, watching this election and hearing about the Department of Education being gutted, loyalty oaths and stuff like that, a lot of that is designed also too to demoralize people before they even become teachers, or the teachers that are in there. It to drive them out of the profession, because really qualified professional teachers, you don't want them in place if you're about to mount an attack on them. If you can get rid of the best teachers, you get them out of there, then you're kind of weakening the ranks, and then you're ready for a full onslaught. That sounds really evil. I know. I'm sorry. It's early. I've had 3 cups of coffee.
Totally fair. Luckily, I'm a very stubborn person. Oh, so yeah. They're not gonna get me.
Well, you know, Act 10 kind of did that here in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
It did get rid of collective bargaining, and we were talking about that yesterday with Mike McCabe from Substack. He does a great column, and what happened was that they didn't want the teachers' input, you know, the changes in the classroom, what teachers thought was important to put in place in the classroom, what they're noticing, what they need in that classroom, and collective bargaining got rid of that ability of teachers to actually have some kind of control of what happens in that school.
Yeah, and that's the demoralizing attack is that when you take away that authority is the wrong word, but it's more of, you know, being in there, being part of the decision making. You know, teachers are leaders. When you take away their ability to make decisions, to make judgments, to use their professional knowledge, which is what you're saying. And so collective bargaining said, teachers, we don't care what you think. Mm-hmm. We'll tell you what you're going to do. Well, these are people with master's degrees and things like that. And you're saying your job is to sit there, follow the script, shut up and do what you're told. Guess what? A lot of smart people say, you know what? I'm not going to do that anymore. And that's why I said the teacher shortage is actually a manufactured exodus that was, it's working beautifully.
It is.
You have demoralized our teachers to a point where there are more teachers certified not teaching because of the conditions of what it means to be a teacher. So this isn't a shortage. This is an executed routing of qualified professional people out of the profession.
Well, the sad part, you know, because Republicans want to privatize school and have school choice statewide, they want to vilify public school teachers. That's the whole point. And then they have been doing that over the last 10 years. So now we have technology stepping in. We have TikTok. We have distractions on their phones. And kids are getting a little out of hand, unruly. The parents are unaware of it. And they don't want to hear it from the teachers. And they don't believe the teachers. They want control over those teachers. It's all coming to a head at this point.
It is. And boy... I don't think I would do it after I just heard what you said there, Don. My goodness.
I'm sorry.
Thanks
for the pep talk, man.
Wow.
You better get out of the profession, my man.
Well, that brings up the next question about is homeschooling on the rise? You know, I think about homeschooling during the pandemic, you know, and a lot of that kind of took off then. And is homeschooling more of an option for some parents and kids?
I think you're right, Gordy. You know, actually, yes, there has been an increase in homeschooling, and there is a pretty good connection to coming out of the pandemic, where actually some parents realize, and I would agree with them, that the conditions for, quote, you know, virtual learning during the pandemic weren't that great, and that some of what they saw, you know, maybe a teacher getting on YouTube and kind of trying to get kids to pay attention wasn't the best educational experience. And some parents went, you know what, we can do this better ourselves until the pandemic's over. And some of those parents have actually continued to do that. So there is this move, because remember, when the pandemic hit, nobody was ready to go to a totally virtually school setting. We didn't know what we were doing. We were doing the best we could. And there were situations where it wasn't the best experience for kids. And if you were a family, particularly if you had means and the ability, you could provide a better educational experience for your kids during the pandemic. And some of that has really turned into then this length of homeschooling.
We're talking to Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils. We will continue the conversation. You can jump in, 608-879-8255. That's 879-TALK.
Or text us.
Call us or text us on the Civic Media app. Back with more after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
5, 6, 5, 6, 7, 8.
92.7 WMDX. John and Gordy in the morning with Busted Pencils. Tim Slecker is with us.
He's edumacating us.
We're talking about the end of the Department of Education some way, shape, or form. But still, he's going to do all these things that need a department of some sort anyway.
Yes.
And we're talking about things that are being taken away and things that will be added. And one of them is they're trying to take away the ability of the Department of Education to give
endowments,
but also I think what they want to do is they also want to get rid of the funding for, you know, student loan programs, right?
Yeah.
And the grants that they also provide.
I'm okay with doing away with the student loan program if you truly mean you're doing away with it and letting me off the hook. I'm grateful.
Well, that way,
President
yes, we
Trump.
Could do that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, you know what? Dismantle the whole student loan program, dude. I am with you 100%. Because anyway, but no, you know, and the endowment thing that you're talking about this, and try to recognize what they're saying here is that institutions have funds of money they sit on, endowments, whether you want to talk about this. The best way to explain this is the attack on diversity, equity, and inclusion. And so an example, when you apply to get into college, there are considerations that they give as to, you know, your GPA, your family income. And over the past 20, 25 years, there's been, yes, some race conscious decisions about who gets admitted into college. Over the last few years, we've seen a real attack on diversity, equity, and inclusion, even the Supreme Court striking down the ability to make decisions based on race for allowing people to get into school above this. So the reality is here. So as a, you know, will minority students get more access to education than white students? And under the current ruling of the Supreme Court, that's illegal. So what Trump's saying, though, is that, hey, in colleges, we mean it. If we find out that you've made admissions decisions using race-based decision-making, we're going to get you. And the way we're going to get you is we're going to take the money from your endowment, and we're going to take that into the non-Department of Education that doesn't exist, and we're going to put this into a bank account, and we're going to fund your pain and suffering for not getting into the school that you wanted to get into. But then you'll have free access to this new education that is going to be put on by the federal government. And again, none of this is going to have any oversight because we don't have any Department of Education, though, anyway. Yep. Right. But so think about this. But yeah, it's this threat. It's a threat to colleges that if you do not comply, we're going to take your money away. And with that, we're going to take those students who you harmed. We're going to give them a free education, and we're going to compensate them for pain and sufferings. You start to think about this. What are the implications then of an institution that has made decisions to create access to their education for all kinds of reasons why we allow certain students, but no longer can you make that decision because out of fear that your endowment will be taken away by the federal government.
Exactly.
This is frightening.
It is. And, you know, it's the return of Trump College is what it is.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. You think about looking at that.
But also, when the point is here that, you know, what we're looking at is doing stuff online. And we know that doing stuff online isn't the best way to learn. It's been proven over and over again that online courses and classes just aren't as good as, you know, being in a school or in a classroom for that matter. And now we're looking at possibly doing away with these grants, or at least threatening people. And what about the people actually providing the grants? I mean, not grants, but the endowments.
Donations for the endowments. I think this is more, excuse me, more threat necessarily, because there are just too many. Like, I was thinking about this. Go to some of your big Ivies, Harvard. Harvard has an endowment that's crazy. I'm pretty sure that if President Trump says, hey, Harvard, you owe us a couple billion dollars from your grant or from your endowment, I'm going to bet that there's some form of a legal arrangement that Harvard will fight it quite rigorously, you know, and they're not going to get any money. But I don't know how you do this. I think so much of it is a threat and a fear. And it's, you get a lot of people to, quote, change their behavior out of fear. It happens. There will be these decisions where people will say, under the fear of something horrible happening, they will comply and change their behavior. So this really is a threat. And we were thinking about the 10-point plan that President Trump has for K-12.
Right.
And I'm actually more frightened by his plans for higher education when I look at this, because he is really gunning for colleges as truly, as you say, the maniac Marxists that are in charge of colleges. Understand that what they're saying is that college and university creates independent free thinkers. And in our new future, we got to do away with that because we need total cognitive compliance.
Exactly.
That's frightening.
Wow.
That's just.
Okay.
I know. Yeah, and a lot, and then it leaves it up to the state to provide that kind of funding and the money for those colleges. Right. And already those states are preventing a lot of this funding for colleges. They don't like public education.
They don't. They
so
don't.
That's like already education. Happening. So this just makes it worse. Doubles down on it.
Dr. Tim Slicker, we are just about out of time. Okay. I want to remind
give
everybody.
You one little.
Yeah, one go, little thing. Go,
yeah,
ahead.
Go ahead.
One little other projection. Department of Education could be combined into the Department of Labor in this idea of workforce. In fact, in the state of Ohio, where I'm at right now, the Department of Education was merged in a new Department of Workforce and Education.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Wow. Dr. Tim, thanks for joining us.
I don't think about that.
Their podcast, The Busted Pencils, Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, also Saturdays on the Civic Media Network. Thank you, Tim.
Thanks, Tim.
Back with more.
Thank you.
Right around the corner.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.